The Royal Gelatin Hour, directed by Rudy Valley. Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Valley and Company. Tonight we bid a fond farewell to 1936 and welcome 1937 with an array of talent that includes a comedian, an astrologer, a violinist, a ventriloquist, and a villain. They are Beatrice Lilly, the versatile, adept, loquacious river of the foibles and furbelows, of the high, low, and in-between. Edgar Bergen, the only ventriloquist that ever lived who plays stooge for his own dummy.
Wynn.
Not Ed, but the famous astrologist who adds up things from the stars.
Edith Lorand,
the Hungarian rhapsodist with a spark of a gypsy campfire in her violin.
And Joe Downing,
the baby-faced killer of Dead End, now in its second successful year on Broadway. In retrospect, then, Graham,
Lily, Bergen, Wynn, Lorand, Downing.
Keep me in your dreams. Keep me in your dreams, in your sweet dreams, let me hold you. When through your window the breeze comes winging, it's just bringing this love song that I'm singing. Please keep me in your dreams, my kiss, it seems, must have told you. My heart you'll borrow until tomorrow, so please keep me in your dreams. You'll borrow until tomorrow, so please keep me in your dreams. Over at the Winter Garden on Broadway, they've had to batten down the hatches to keep the building from blowing away in the gales of laughter that have greeted "The Show Is On." High point in the merrymaking of this gay charade is Lady Peel, Beatrice Lilly, to you and to me, and to millions of tuneriners from the main stem to main street. Bea hasn't been with us as often as we would have wished lately, but she is now and has been one of the outstanding contributors to this palladium of mirth for Lo, These Many Laughs. Happy New Year, friends. Here comes Bea Lilly.
Mouth, Mr. Valley. How you all do go on. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope you still are. After all, there are quite a few hours left this happy night before it'll be necessary to break up the furniture and start tossing at one another. Now, this little tidbit that I've been asked to sing is a number that I do when the show is on. It's called Buy Yourself a Balloon by Herman Hupfeld. And once I've started to sing it, there's no point in asking me to stop because I can't hear you. I love the moon. I love the moon. I love the moon. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm just a moon for the moon, just a moon. But best of all, thank you. I love you. I love you. Alas, a letter from my lover, my very tall and handsome lover. He seems to swoon while in his lap I croon his favorite lay. You know it really is surprising how he adores my vocalizing. Oh, I can hardly wait. Why hesitate? I'll read you what he has to say. Quote. Some nice day in June, buy yourself a balloon, take a trip to the moon, and stay up there and croon. Teach the stars to spoon with a popular tune. Be the girl in the moon, and stay up there. Taking my advice, go up there and organize a crooner's paradise. So this afternoon, buy yourself a balloon, take a trip to the moon, and stay up there and croon. Up to the moon, over Milwaukee, or wherever the moon happens to be. Oh, the Jersey City or the Baltic Sea, swinging over sweet North Schenectady. Buy yourself a balloon. Something seems to tell me I'm above Times Square. How are all my friends on Broadway? Hey, hello down there. I think I see the answer to a maiden's prayer. Buy yourself a balloon. Oh, moon, my delight. If the man in the moon is a coon, 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 what shall I do? I'll have to mooch on, mooch on harvest moon. Oh, you know why. Gosh knows when. Am I right? Mississippi, Carolina, Alabama, Mississippi, Minnesota, Colorado, Indiana, California, North Dakota, full old mellow, hot blue, yellow, beamy, dreamy, universal, paramount moon. Oh, the stars don't even twinkle. I croon a tune. I might as well be singing to an octoroon. Oh, I'll go nuts if something doesn't happen soon. I just sit on my moon. Up in the heavens among the stars, close to Jupiter, Venus, and Mars, only a mile to the silky Milky Way. Here in the clear above the crowds, far from the shattering, clattering clouds, it's a heavenly spot, but a hell of a place to stay. Oh, for a shot of brandy wine, then a pop shot at that lover of mine. I was a silly lily to obey. Why did I buy this darn balloon? What am I doing from noon to noon? Sitting and singing and singing and sitting, hey, hey. Ippity, sippity, sabbity, abbity, sabbity, babbity, boom. I'm ready to kick the moon right in the face. Somebody buy a balloon, and bring up a party of 10 and we'll wreck the place. Whee! Oh, take me down to earth again. I want to get back where men are men. The man in the moon looks at me with a grin. Says he, you'll have to stay, I fear, for you have no balloon, my dear. It's gone with the wind with just one little prick of the pin. Strange predicament. It seems a bit unjust. So I still have two balloons. They've always been just. So this afternoon, buy yourself a balloon. Take a trip to the moon and stay up there and cruise.
Delight when I think of the night that I met you on.
In Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
Oh, what a thrill was the spill down the hill I have set you on.
In Saskatchewan.
Swift as the breeze of the race and the skis that I bet you on.
In Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
I walked ahead while you rode on the sled that I fetched you on.
In Saskatchewan.
We might have been in the Alps, just like you see in the papers, risking a couple of scalps and cutting Canadian capers. It's going to be nice to come back to the ice that I sketched you on.
In Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
I charter a plane or a honeymoon train that I'll get you on.
In Saskatchewan.
Down to the sea, bright sea, bring my loved one home to me. Oh, dear one, true, I'm trying hard to be, but hear me say, it's a very, very long, long way. From the banks of the Seine, for a boy to go and stay, by the banks of the Saskatchewan.
Canadian
capers.
It's gonna be nice to come back to the ice that I
sketch
you on.
In Saskatoon, Saskatchewan.
I'll charter a plane or a honeymoon plane that I'll get you on. In Saskatchewan.
A song that I always like to sing at New Year's time. It expresses a truth that has proven itself down through the years. Come what may in this cockeyed world of ours, We'll always have love and romance, no matter what else happens, as time goes by. This day and age we're living in gives cause for apprehension, with speed and new invention, and things like third dimension, yet we get a trifle weary with Mr. Einstein's theory, so we must get down to earth at times, relax, relieve the tension. No matter what the progress or what may yet be proved, the simple facts of life are such, they cannot be removed. You must remember this, a kiss is still a kiss, a sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. And when two lovers woo, they still say I love you, on that you can rely. No matter what the future brings as time goes by. Moonlight and love songs never out of date. Hearts full of passion, jealousy and hate. Woman needs man, and man must have his mate. That no one can deny. It's still the same old story, a fight for love and glory, a case of do or die. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. It was well over a year ago that the play Dead End opened at the Belasco Theater in New York. The critics were loud in their praise of the Norman Bel Geddes realistic set of the New York City, dark-ended side street, the author, Sidney Kingsley, and of the thin-lipped, tightly repressed playing of the part of killer babyface Martin. Joseph Downing, as nice a fellow as ever yelled at an umpire on a hot August afternoon, played and still plays this part. Tonight, Joe honors us by appearing in the featured role of Happy New Year, Mr. Krause, an original and, we think, a highly meritorious sketch by John Whedon. Mr. Downing plays Steve, France Benston plays the Watchman, and Clyde Fillmore is heard as Mr. Krause. The time, 6 o'clock, New Year's Eve. The place, the gloomy lobby of an old office building in downtown New York. Everyone has gone home except Steve, the operator of the creaky elevator, and the night watchman. They are waiting for the last tenant to leave the building. The watchman speaks.
Now, when you're as sold as I am, Steve, you don't feel so hard about things. You just take what comes. And if it's good, well, that's nice. And if it's not so good, well, that's too bad.
That's great, that is. That's very constructive. It's a wonder you aren't president.
Oh, it was not always so, no. I was young, too, once. But when you get older, you get wiser. When you don't want to be the whole cheese. So listen to an old man and just take it easy, like me.
Listen, you crazy galoot. Do you think I want to be like you? You're as good as dead. I've got a few years to live yet, and I want to do something with them, see?
Oh, I know.
That's what's burning me up. It ain't so much losing the job, but here is the end of another year, and I should be getting somewhere. Where am I? Right back where I started 2 years ago, out of my ear. 2 years wasted. I might just as well never have lived through them.
Yeah, you might just as well never lived at all. And that goes for me and for everybody else. But we ain't got nothing to say about that. And after a while, you get so you don't care so much. So don't be a fool. You're young. You'll get another chop.
Yeah, maybe I will, and maybe I won't. And if I do, what'll it be? Something like this, running an elevator.
Well, it could be boys.
Gee, they tell you all your life, go to school, work hard, be on time, save your money, don't watch the clock, make the most of your opportunities. Well, what's that got me? What opportunities have I got? Say, when I stop and think what I'm doing all day long, when I admit it to myself, running a crate up and down, me running an elevator. And now I'm scared to death. I won't even get a chance to do that.
Yeah. Well,
what am I doing right now? Right this minute. Standing around here waiting while his nibs up on the 37th floor counts his dough and adds up the profits for 1936. Nobody's going to fire him if he takes 15 minutes extra for lunch. He's got nothing to worry about but me. I stick around here all hours till he gets good and ready to go home. By rights, he ought to go off and leave him up there. Why not? Let him walk down 37 flights and see how he likes it. I'm through here anyway. What am I hanging around for?
Ah, go out and get a few drinks into you, Steve. You feel better. I'm here anyway. I bring him down. Why don't you go home?
Yeah, why don't I? Maybe I just love the dear old place. Or maybe I want to get just one more look at that puss. Maybe I want to push it in. Yeah.
Take it easy now, Steve. Don't be a fool. I know how you feel because I was full of beans like you once. But when you get as old as I am...
Cut it out, will you? Will you quit saying that? You're right. I'm just full of myself and I know it. What's the use? I can holler a lot and maybe push a few guys around, but I'll end up just like you. Hey, you're right. What's the use of kidding myself?
That's right. It's just getting used to it that's hard. After that, it ain't so bad. It's always like I say, if you don't expect anything, you don't get disappointed.
If you don't expect anything, what's the use of living? Why drag it out?
Oh, that's no way to talk.
Yeah, I mean it. There he is now.
You better go, Steve.
Let him wait. Hey, what are you living for? Nothing. You're just hanging around waiting for the axe to fall, waiting for your number to come up. Well, I ain't gonna do that, see? Because there's something burning inside of me that won't stand for it, see? And before I just lay down and give up like you... Keep your shirt on, sweetheart. You've taken your time or I'm taking mine. Listen to me, Dutchman. Maybe you're right, all right. A guy's a dope to butt his head against a stone wall and eat his heart out for something that ain't in the cards. But I ain't just gonna lay down like you and wait to die. If I gotta go out, I'm gonna go out with an almighty bang. All right! Yes, sir. I'm going to give these babies something to think about. Because a guy can stand just so much. All right, I'm coming.
Steve.
Good evening, Mr. Cross.
See here. I've been ringing that bell for 5 minutes.
I said, good evening, Mr. Cross.
Say, look here, you.
Well?
Oh, come on, what are you stopping for? I'm late already. Say, what's the matter with you?
How's every little thing, Mr. Cross?
Now listen.
You listen to me. Cross, I've been working for your company 2 years. And all that time, you never once spoke to me. You never even had the decency to give me a civil answer when I said good morning. Now we're going to have a little chat. I got a few things to say to you.
Young man, I don't know what you're driving at, but I can tell you one thing. You're through. Get your pay.
I've already got my pay, Mr. Cross.
Well, then get out. You're fired.
Yeah, Mr. Bogart's already attended to that, too. I got this little slip in my envelope. Here, take a look at it. Happy New Year, eh, Mr. Cross?
I have nothing more to say to you. Take me down.
I'll take you down. Oh, I'll take you down, all right. But I got some things to say to you first.
Now, see here, I have no time for any...
I have all the time in the world. Because I got no plans and I'm not going anyplace. But I got a couple of things on my mind.
Hey, let me out of here.
What's the matter, Mr. Cross? No use trying to open that way between floors. Even if it was open, you couldn't get out.
Hey, help! Help! I'm being...
Help! Go on, shout. There's nobody in the building but the night watchman, and he's deaf. And you're 30 floors up. 30 floors or nothing. Right under your feet, Mr. Cross. So, be careful.
Well, what do you want?
What's the outlook for real estate in 1937, Mr. Cross? Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Another year like this and Cross and Company ought to be doing pretty well, eh? I wonder how Cross and Company is going to get along without Cross.
Why, what do you mean?
You've been taking an awful lot for granted, Mr. Cross. You always thought if you just stepped into an elevator, it would take you wherever you wanted to go, with no questions asked, didn't you? It never occurred to you that some poor dope had to spend his life running it for you, did it? Did you ever lose a job, Mr. Cross? You know what it's like to have everything drop out from under you all of a sudden? Well, you're going to find out.
Hey!
That's just a sample.
Hey, you want to be careful, my boy.
You're telling me. Did you ever see anybody drop 30 stories in one of these?
I did.
Snapped his neck just like a chicken's. Rammed his thigh bones right up into his armpits. You know, if I push this handle the other way a couple of inches, I could shoot you up through the roof like a skyrocket.
Don't!
Like that?
Look here, that's dangerous. You'll kill both of them.
And what if I do?
Well, you wouldn't want to do that.
I wouldn't, eh? Why not? I got no family, no job, no future, no money. And I'm sick to death of having to look at guys like you.
Hey, listen, whatever your name is...
Just call me Mister.
If you're wise, you'll take me down. A joke's a joke, but I can have you locked up for this.
Don't kid yourself. There's no law against taking a guy for a little ride in an elevator. Besides, there's no lockup where we're going.
Well, I'll give you your job back.
Yes, you will. It lasts just about as long as it takes us to get to the ground floor. And that's about 30 seconds.
Say, listen, I've got a wife and family.
I'll be doing them a favor. Hey, what do you want to live for, Cross? A fat, ugly, mean, double-crossing tightwad like you? I should think a guy would want to die if he was you.
Say, look, I'll give you anything you want. I'll do anything you say.
Shut
only...
up. Did your Bogart give me another chance?
Well, I'll make him. I never knew anything about it. I'll fire both.
Yeah, you'll fire your own mother. Well, you pull your last double cross, Cross. Say your prayers. Because when I count 10, 1, 2,
stop.
3.
Say, listen to
4,
me.
4, 5.
Now listen, will you?
Don't try to pull anything, Cross, because if you... I warned you. Okay, you asked for it.
Hey!
Steve, what did you do to him?
Nothing. He just fainted.
I better get some water.
Slapping's just as good.
What?
Slap his face. All right, I'll do it. It's a pleasure.
Steve, not so hard.
He's got it coming to him. Here, help me drag him out.
Oh, my goodness, Steve. When you went upstairs that day, oh, my goodness. I thought sure you was going to...
So did Kraus. Maybe I was. Come on, wake up. See, you should have seen him. He was scared to death. Yelling like a baby. Him. The president of Krauss and Company, and he's scared of me. Look at him there with his fat tongue hanging out. Look at the president. Come on, toots, snap out of it. Hey, you know something, Dutchman? These guys are all like this. Anybody say boo to them and they faint. You get them in a tight spot and they're scared little guys like you. Come on, Cross, old boy. You've been bye-bye long enough.
No.
See, that's where you're wrong, Dutchman. You let these little punks bulldoze you.
Oh.
Shh, he's coming too.
Not me. From now on, I'm not taking anything from anybody, see? There. Sit him up. Oh. Feeling better now, Crossy? You're drooling, baby. Yes, sir, Dutchman, you come around and see me in 6 months, and I'll give you a good job.
What? What? Oh. Oh, it's...
Yeah, it's me.
Well, I'll take care of you later.
You... Thanks, Mr. Cross. That's very sweet of you. Steady there. Open the door for Mr. Cross, Dutchman. That's it. Better call a cab. Mr. Cross ain't feeling himself tonight. Good night, Mr. Cross. Take good care of yourself. Be careful crossing streets.
Happy New Year, Mr. Krause.
WEAF, New York.
The Royal Gelatin Hour continues as the clock speeds on towards the new year. Edith Lorand, the gentleman known as Wynne the astrologer, and Edgar Bergen are yet to be heard from. From Budapest, rich with its tradition of fine music, comes our next guest this evening. One of Europe's outstanding violin virtuosi. She has made over 2,800 phonograph records abroad, and last year she toured the United States with her orchestra of 16 men and was something more than a mild sensation. Soon she is to start off on another trek across the country. Introducing now Miss Edith Lorand. Miss Lorand will play her own unusual arrangement of Franz Lehár's well-beloved Merry Widow Waltz.
Thank you.
My very good friend Dave Franklin is certainly hitting his stride in the art of composing songs these days. Here's his latest. Just written When My Dream Boat Comes Home, and this is his most recent. Never Should Have Told You. Never should have told you what your lips are for, what your arms are for, and whom I adore, baby. Now it's hard to hold you. Never should have told you what your looks would mean on a movie screen. You would steal the scene, baby. Never should have told you. Since I put you wise, all you do is roll your eyes at everyone in the crowd. My, but you're acting proud. Now that you know I care, you've got your nose up in the air. Never should have told you that you're heavenly, like a dream to me. Now you're mean to me, baby. I never should have told you. Fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves, that we are underlings. Shakespeare wrote that many, many years ago and gave a great many boosts to astrology. The science of the influences the planets have on man. Today in the United States, over 500,000 people subscribe to and read the numerous books and magazines that are written each month on that subject. So the publishers probably owe the Bard of Avon a vote of thanks. Tonight, for a glimpse into what 1937 holds in store for us, we bring you one of the outstanding astrologers, a gentleman known to the millions of readers of the New York Daily News, in which he conducts a column of star-studded advice as Wynn the Astrologer. And so, ladies and gentlemen, to the tune of stardust, Wynn the Astrologer. Mr. Wynn, what are your prognostications for the new year?
If you don't mind, Mr. Valley, there's something I would like to take up with you first.
What's that?
That quotation you used. The fault, dear Brutus, is not in our stars, but in ourselves that we are underlings. I'm glad you and Shakespeare said that, for he was one of the greatest of astrologers, and in this statement he was telling the world that we can't blame the stars for our mistakes any more than we can blame the force of gravity when we fall down.
How do you explain that?
Well, the fault is in ourselves, and not in our stars. You see, Mr. Valley, the planets impel, but don't compel. Can you imagine a trial with the defendant claiming immunity because his horoscope said he would commit a crime? Astrology is not fatalistic. As a matter of fact, there is no such thing as fate. Each man is the maker and master of his own destiny. He is affected by the rays from luminaries and planets, but not controlled by them.
I see. What then is the astrologer's place in this scheme of things?
The true astrologer makes logical deductions from known astronomical facts. I like to consider that what I deal in is psychological weather.
Psychological weather?
Yes. I may know when it will rain, but I don't know who will get wet. I can analyze and give advice, but I can't look at your horoscope and tell definitely what you are going to be doing next Saturday afternoon at 3:45. There isn't a monkey wrench big enough to twist anything out of the heavens that would tell that.
In a general sense, though, Mr. Wynn, what do the planets foretell for the world in 1937?
I'm sorry to say, Mr. Valley, that according to the influences, there is every possibility that history's pages for 1937 will record some of the saddest events ever known. Peace depends chiefly on three great nations, the United States, England, and Russia. But, Mr. Valley, please remember what I said before. I am not predicting that any of these sad things are bound to happen. In fact, they can and must be prevented.
Good. Tell me, Mr. Wynn, what is the outlook on the business horizon in 1937 in our own United States?
Intelligent men and women all over the country will improve their economic and physical condition in the important year ahead of us. But we must still put something in if we are going to take out later. 1937 is not going to be the year of easy plenty that some of our materialistic prophets would have us expect. The time is not yet here. It is not even in sight when there will be no unemployment, when there will be no need for credit ratings. We will not achieve the automatic, non-drainable, self-filling bank account.
Seems rather a pity. When will the days of the self-filling bank account arrive, if ever?
I don't think we'll live to see it, but you should worry. According to your horoscope, you've got a big money year ahead of you.
Very interesting indeed. Would you mind telling that to my creditors?
But...
Now, I thought there was a catch.
But you will have heavy expenditures and feel quite extravagant, too. You are a very liberal fellow with your money. There's another thing, too. There is the probability of a strong love affair.
Blonde, redhead, or brunette?
I'm not that good, Mr. Valley. But let's skip it.
No, go ahead. I'd just as soon hear everything.
Well, it's a warning about danger. It's always a good bet to drive carefully, but they're going to be missing you closer than ever, all the way to September, and watch everything mechanical or related to fire.
Fire?
Yes.
Well, I guess that leaves out the redhead.
One thing more. I want to say how much I admire your use of the last 6 years, during which Jupiter has gone over the places of every planet in your horoscope. Jupiter is the planet of success, but in your case, it can be such only through the hardest kind of hard work. Mr. Valley, take it from a man difficult to please. You're good, mighty good, and I wish you a very happy New Year.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Wynn. I still think you ought to see my creditors. Thanks for coming up tonight, and a happy new year to you, too. Kimbamba,
Kimbamba,
embloró se fue el negro colibrí. Kimbamba,
Kimbamba,
elefante, mono, cabra, jabalí. Kimbamba,
Kimbamba, Kimbamba,
bambú, bambú, calumbu, bambú, hey. Bamboo, Columbo, bamboo, hey. Bamboo, Columbo, ay, hey. Y va por hacer el guete, cantando su canto, bembe. Bamboo, Columbo, bamboo, hey. Bamboo, Columbo, ay, ay. Kimbamba,
Kimbamba,
tembloró se fue el negro colibrí. Kimbamba,
Kimbamba,
elefante, mono, cabra, jabalí. Kimbamba,
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 ay.
Three weeks ago, when we introduced a ventriloquist on the air, it was frankly an experiment. However, the whole thing worked out so well that we are repeating it for the third successive time. Ladies and gentlemen, Edgar Bergen, the ventriloquist, Charlie McCarthy, the ubiquitous dummy who has traveled around the world in Mr. Bergen's lap. And remember, both the voices you hear belong to Edgar Bergen.
Evening papers. Read all about New Year's. What do you read?
Just a moment, young man.
Huh?
What are you doing? Selling papers in a broadcasting studio?
Yes, I was. Are you interested?
Yeah. Where do you think you can get away with a thing like that?
Why?
Why, no one does anything like that.
No.
Have you seen anybody else selling papers here?
No. That's why I thought it was a good idea.
Well, did anyone give you permission to do that?
No. Not actually, no.
Well, did anyone say anything at all about it?
Not a darn thing, no.
Well, have you a ticket? Have you a ticket for the broadcast? A ticket? How did you get in? You have a ticket.
Well, I was,
Have you a ticket?
Well, you see, I was walking past a door, see?
Yes.
And I saw a lot of people coming in, see?
Yes.
And I says, there must be a broadcast. All those people will be going in unless there's a broadcast. Yeah. That's what I said to myself.
Yes, but have you a ticket for the broadcast?
Not actually, no.
Not actually, no. You don't mean to tell me that you sneaked in here?
Well, I didn't mean to tell you, no.
So you're selling papers. Well, how much do you make selling papers?
Well, it's difficult to say.
I suppose so.
Business fluctuates so.
Yeah. Well, about how much?
I just can't say, that's all. I don't have my ledger here.
No, I see.
The girl is out to lunch.
Yes. Well, about how much?
Well, some weeks I can make as high as, of course, then again, it'll fall off a little.
Yeah.
last week, the bottom fell out.
It did. Well, about how much? In round figures.
Oh, you want round figures, yes. Well, I could say $6 a week.
Oh, $6 a week?
Yes, of course, now that's round.
That's round.
Plenty of round.
Yes. Yeah.
It's around $3 too much.
I see. Yes. Well, young man, $6 a week isn't a great sum.
No, it isn't, is it?
No.
But it's some.
It's some.
And it isn't counting shortchanging either.
Oh, I see. Oh. Shortchanging and sneaking into a broadcasting. That's awful.
Yeah.
What does your father think of you?
Must legal into that.
I wonder what your report card reads like, young man.
Yeah.
Yes, what does it read like?
Well, it did fall off a little the past month.
Yes.
Yes, it fell off. Yes, it really did. Way off.
Yes.
I think it's the holiday season.
Yeah.
I think it'll pick up after the first of the year.
Yes. Well, what does your deportment read?
For the past month?
Yes.
D.
D. Mm, I see. And your spelling?
D.
D. Mm. And I suppose your arithmetic?
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Nothing but D's.
That's me.
Yes. Well, there's very little to brag about there.
Yes, there is, except that I'm consistent.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Yes, there is.
But a card like that doesn't read very well, does it?
No.
D, D, and D.
It sounds better if you sing it. D, 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 D.
Oh. Well, young man, what is going to happen to you? What's going to become of you?
Well, so you know, only the other day I asked myself the same question.
You did?
Mm-hmm. I had a long talk, confidential, of course.
Yes.
It was a closed conference.
Yes.
I said to myself, Charlie, old boy, see, chummy-like.
Yes.
I says, Charlie, old boy, Charlie, see?
Yes.
I call myself by my first name.
Oh, sorry.
After all, why shouldn't I?
Yes.
It was just an informal talk.
Yes, I know.
I says, what's going to become of you? See?
Yes. And what did you say?
Well, sir, I had myself cornered.
You did? Yes. didn't know what to say. You didn't know. Well, why didn't you give yourself a good lecture?
Well, I did. I did that.
Well, that's fine.
I says, Charlie, you're no better than just a common loafer. You're a tramp.
Oh, you did.
Oh, I spoke out.
Yeah.
I didn't mince words, no.
You did?
Yes, I said all that.
That's fine.
Yes. And, sir, do you know, I was so mad I didn't talk to myself for 3 days.
Exactly. Well, young man, what is going to happen to you?
Well, I tell you, now that I've lost my job, I think my school grades will pick up.
Your school grade? Yeah. Now that you've lost your job?
Yeah.
Or you've lost your job?
Yeah, the old one.
Oh, I see. And how did you lose that?
Well, you see, my boss, he saw me smoking a cigarette.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame him. You don't mean to tell me that you smoke cigarettes.
Well, I can't afford cigars.
Your boss was justified in firing you.
Yeah, well, it wasn't so much smoking a cigarette, it seems, as it was. He accused me of stealing his cigarettes.
Oh, his cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
I see.
That's the thing, you see.
I see. That's an awful thing to accuse a person of stealing.
Yes, it is.
It's very bad.
Yes, it is. It's humiliating.
Yes.
I was mortified.
I don't blame you.
I can never respect him like I did.
No, I don't blame you. No. Well, if he accused you of stealing his cigarettes, why didn't you make him prove it?
Yeah, well, he did.
Oh, he did.
Well, I don't care. I didn't like the job anyhow.
You don't like the job?
No.
And you don't like school?
No.
Oh, I see. Well, what do you like? You must have some ambition.
Yes, fishing.
Fishing? Oh, but that isn't a profession. That's just a recreation.
Yeah.
Why, there's no future in that.
No?
Why, certainly not. Well, you can fish and fish and fish, and after it's all over, what have you got to show?
Well, a string of fish. I thought that was pretty good.
Yes, yes. Yes. Well, you take any successful man, and you'll find that his success is built on hard work and clear thinking.
Is that so?
Yes. Well, now take Rudy, for example.
Yes.
Yes. Now, suppose Rudy thought more of fishing than he does of his work.
Yeah.
Where would Rudy be today?
Well, I guess he'd be fishing.
Well, I'm afraid you're on the wrong track, young man.
Well, I don't know. Some people say one thing, and my uncle, I like what my uncle says.
What does he say?
He says, you're only young once, so live.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. What does your uncle do?
Well, he works on the fire department.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm. He's captain of the hose company.
Oh, I see. A captain on the hose company.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's good.
Oh, he's the main squirt.
Yeah.
He hardly has to do anything. He just grabs the hose by the snozzle, or the nostril, or the nozzle,
yes,
and then squirts it. Oh, I see.
It's a cinch. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Well, young man.
Uh-huh.
You like your uncle?
Yes, I like him. He says life was made to be lived.
Well, I must admit that your uncle is right.
I think so, too.
Yes. You know, Charlie, Aristotle once said...
Who?
Aristotle.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
I never heard of him.
Don't tell me you haven't heard of Aristotle.
No.
No.
All right, I won't.
All right. Now, you think back to your school days and your history.
Yes, Aristotle. Yes, I remember him now.
Yes?
We played on the same team.
Oh,
yes. We played on the same team. It was the Tiddlywink team.
The Tiddlywink?
Yes. I think Aristotle played left Tiddlywink. Yes.
You must have known him very well.
Oh, we were inseparable.
Yes.
I miss him terribly. Yes.
He's been dead for more than 2,000 years.
Yes, I guess it's all of that. What did you say?
Yes. Dead for 2,000 years.
My goodness, how time flies, doesn't it?
Thursday night, we'll be on hand with another all-star variety hour. Our guests, funny man Bert Lahr, Paul Whiteman, the king of jazz, the old music master, Ellsworth Bynes and Fred Perry, the tennis players, and again, our famous ventriloquist, Edgar Bergen. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night and a happy, happy New Year.
This is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.